If you got your Bibles, open up to the Old Testament. I want you to go to the book of 1 Samuel. Go to the book of 1 Samuel. We finished up a series last week called Seven, walking through the seven churches of Revelation and Revelation 2 and 3. You may want to go back and view that and be a part of that if you haven't seen it. We're in 2 weeks, excuse me, not next week, but the week after, we're starting a series in 1 Timothy. So you'll want to be here and be a part of that. Next week is time change. We spring forward, all right, March the 8th. I know that there are groans going on right now. Just look at it this way. The sun is going to be out a lot longer, all right? Yeah, so, but want you to be prepared for that, all right, no, so that you know. I didn't grow up learning a whole lot about cars. I drove them. I know how to drive them. Some question whether or not I can drive them, but I do drive them. I enjoy looking at them. My part in making the economy go is if it's breaking or something, I find someone to fix it and I pay them because I don't know a whole lot about them. I used to be able to put oil in them back a long time ago. I used to be able to do a few things to them. That is before they went computerized. You know those gauges on the front of your vehicle, like when you're sitting in it, and now then you turn it on and they light up like a cockpit and all that? Those gauges are there for a reason. They tell us something about what's going on in the car. When you see a light go off, a ding, 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 a little icon that comes up, now then you have to like pull the manual out and go, what does that icon mean? What are those things that are going on? You're supposed to be asking questions because your car, that gauge, is giving you a signal and it's wanting you to do something. I remember being in high school, late high school. I had a friend who we were going to put some oil in his car. True story. He had an oil light that came on. And so this shouldn't be real difficult. We found where the cap was. We opened the cap. We leaned over. The engine was huge back in those days. It was a long, so we had to kind of get up, look over. We couldn't see any oil, and so we just started pouring oil in. We got to about 6 quarts of oil, and it still wasn't up at the top where you could see it. That was the weirdest thing to me, because this thing over here where you pull the pop the thing over here and you can pour water and you see water rise, but the oil was not rising up for some reason. So you can imagine when we just said, well, why don't we just put the cap back on and we're going to drive it somewhere and we'll get somebody to tell us what to do. Guys, you know, Jim, I'm sorry about that. I let you down, didn't I? You know what happens when you do that. Well, if you don't, you turn the car on and you hear the most awful racket. Clack, 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 clack. I mean, the oil soon rose to the top. You began to see the oil. Things were like all over the ground. It was a mess. I said, I didn't do it. He did it. I was just standing here. It's his fault. Listen, that gauge, that light told us something. It told us something. I didn't know quite what it was telling us. I didn't know exactly how to handle it. I should have went to somebody that could help me. But I want you to know that we have gauges in our own life. They're called emotions. And emotions are good. Listen, we don't curse the gauges in our car. We shouldn't curse our emotions. The thing that happens, though, with emotions is that we don't question the good emotions, do we? When we're joyful, when things are happening, we're not always going, hey, I wonder what's happening here. I wonder what's going on. In fact, many times what ends up happening is when we start facing those emotions that are like anger, insecurity, loneliness, like depression, when we start facing those types of things, if you're a man, you don't question those either many times. You just begin to tamp those down. Ladies, you may not even be questioning them. You may just be going, hey, nobody needs to see this. Nobody needs to know this. But here's what I want you to hear. Emotions, do not walk out of here for today without hearing this. Emotions are a gift of God to us. I'm thankful that He has given us emotions. Emotions, though, are gauges to let us know that there's something going on inside, and He is desiring us to take notice of what is happening. So often what happens is when these emotions start going off and we don't know what to do, many times we'll end up in the middle of something or responding or reacting in a way that we later regret. And we end up going, why did I do that? Because we, listen, our emotions are a grace of the Lord in our life. They're a grace of the Lord in our life so that he gives them to us so that they will cause us to turn and point to him and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm turning to you. You created me, and I need you to help me to understand what it is that's happening in my life today. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to talk today about a guy named David who was soon to be king. Now, he's not king yet, all right? But he was soon to be king. And David allowed his emotions to go unchecked. And they led him in some directions that were literally disastrous for himself and for others. But I want to catch you up a little real quickly, excuse me, so that you kind of know what's going on. There was a king in Israel named Saul. The Israelites wanted a king. Everyone else, all the nations around them had kings, and they wanted a king. God said, listen, I'm your king. I'm the one true king. You follow me. He would send judges and prophets, but they said, no, we want a king. So God gave them a king. The prophet Samuel went and he would anointed Saul. Saul reigned for 40 years. But in 1 Samuel 13, Saul disobeys God. And at that point, what ends up happening is that God, through Samuel, says, the kingdom is going to be ripped from you. Not today, but it's going to be ripped from you. And your son will never sit on that throne. He immediately then sends Samuel to go to the house of Jesse in Jerusalem, or there in Israel, excuse me, sends him to the house of Jesse, and Jesse, because he's going to anoint the next king. Well, Jesse calls all of his sons together. He has one that is out in the fields being a shepherd, and so he finally gets David in, and David is anointed the new king of Israel, the next king. How about that? He's the next king because he doesn't become a king immediately. Well, I'm going to kind of push fast forward. Well, the army of Israel, Saul and his army, they're fighting a group called the Philistines, or the Philistines, however you might like to say that. And you may know the story about David and Goliath, the giant. Well, David is sent by his dad, Jesse, to go and take supplies to the brothers who are in the army. David goes and he realizes, hey, all of these people are lined up. There's a giant coming out in the middle of this valley, and he is screaming and cursing the one true God, my living God. Why is nobody doing anything? David says, I'm going to take matters into my hands. In fact, I'm going to do something. He's cursing the one true living God, and I'm going to stand for him. David takes his slingshot, 5 stones, you've heard this before, and he goes out and he kills Goliath with 1 stone, hits him in the middle of the head. He falls out, he runs forward, he takes Goliath's sword, cuts Goliath's head off with his own sword. That makes him a hero. I mean, he's gone to the top. In fact, what ends up happening is he gets conscripted into the army of Saul and becomes the leader of the entire army. He ends up marrying Saul's daughter. So he becomes the king's son-in-law. He becomes the commander of the army. The scripture tells us that he becomes best friends. In fact, their heart is coveted together with Jonathan, the king's son. People begin to love David. In fact, the Bible tells us that they begin to write songs about David. But in David's song, in the songs they're writing about David, they're kind of talking bad about Saul. The songs that they wrote were things like, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his tens of thousands. Well, Saul, being he already knows the kingdom's going has been ripped from him. He will not. Jonathan's not going to be the king. He begins to realize David's going to be the next king. The people are turning their hearts to David. They're going to follow him. And he begins to say, listen, well, he's going to go after David. He wants David out of the picture. Jonathan gets wind. Jonathan gets wind. And Jonathan goes to David. And he says, David, listen, you got to get the heck out of Dodge. Daddy is coming for you. Well, rightly so. I mean, I think this would happen to me. David gets a little scared. He gets tense. He gets nervous. He gets stressed. He gets afraid. And David begins to run. And when David began to run, when he didn't check his emotions, things got out of whack. 1 Samuel chapter 21 with the background. Let's start reading there. Now I'm going to start reading in verse 1 through 3. Then David came to Nob. Nob was a very small town right near Jerusalem. It was a city of priests, literally, a city of priests. They would live there to come to Jerusalem to work in the temple, do their job. So David came to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. That's a hard word to say, Ahimelech. Ahimelech. I kept running over that a little while ago, so I'm saying it again, Ahimelech. And Ahimelech came to meet David, trembling, and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" And David said to Ahimelech, the priest, "The king has charged me with a matter, and he said to me, 'Let no one know anything of the matter about which I am to send you and of which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such place.'" Listen, when your kid tells you he's going to such and such place and not where he's going, there's a problem, all right? He says, I'm meeting my young men for such and such place. "And now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever is here." The first thing I want you to write down, okay? If you're taking some notes, I want you to write this down. Unchecked emotions will make us do something that we would normally never do. Unchecked emotions will make you do something that you normally will never do. Ahimelech notices that David is all alone. This is odd. You know why this is odd? Because David is the commander of the army. He is the king's son-in-law. The commander of the army never goes anywhere alone. He always has a posse. He's got an entourage. They are traveling together. This was an important man. This is like, I mean, literally, this is like the president or the vice president of the United States coming in and sitting down in our church without the CIA, without his aides, anyone. We would be going, "Something's up. Something's not right here." David rolls into town. He's all by himself. Ahimelech, being a smart man, looks at him. Look at what he says in verse 2. He asked David why he was alone. And David said, "Well, the king has sent me on this super secret mission. I'm going on this super secret mission. No one's to know about it. I'm going to this super secret town where nobody knows. And I've got super secret dudes that I'm meeting there. You don't need to worry about it." And then David looks at him. And do you notice what he did right here? He lied to him. He lied to him. This is something that David would not normally be doing. You see, David took matters into his own hand right here. Now, he had a right to be nervous. He had a right to be afraid. He had a real reason to be scared and stressed. The king is coming after me and he wants to kill me. But here, what I want you to check. He didn't check his emotions. They were left unchecked and they caused him to begin to do things that he would never do. Men in this room, I want you to hear me. Yeah, I want your attention real quick, men. Listen, David went from being a zero to a hero and he's about to go back to be a zero, he believes. And out of that, he turned and he took off running and he began to try to take matters into his own hand to try to fix a problem he could not fix alone. And this is what happens so often. This is what happens so often. I see this a lot. I sit in counseling sessions with people who are in difficult situations, who are angry, who are isolated, who are stressed, whose marriages feel like they're about to fall apart, and they're about to make a jump. They're about to step out into something that they have no business stepping out into. They've let their marriages be, their marriages seem like they're on the rocks, and they're letting their emotions take over. There are singles in this room. There are singles in this room today, and you're feeling the pressure that, am I ever going to get married? Everybody around me's married. Should I get married? I want to get married. I don't see. And you are about to let the emotion of isolation and loneliness cause you to do something that you wouldn't normally do. And students, there are students all in this room, children all in this room. You have friends that are pressuring you to be involved in a group There's a desire to want to be in the right group. There's a desire to want to be where the right people are doing the things that everyone else is doing. And you know better. You know better. You wouldn't normally do that, but there's a pressure. And if not checked, you're going to end up in a situation. There are marriages in this room. There are marriages all around this room where there are stress. Do you know why I know that? Because I'm married. It's a part of being married. There's stress. And for some of you, you're tempted. You're tempted. You're tempted to pull the ripcord and jump out of the plane and just, I'm going to be free. And you normally would never think of that. Typically, what ends up happening in those situations, the ripcord doesn't work and it's a messy ending. I want you to hear, when our emotions are not bad, they are warning signs that God gives us. Listen, check this, watch, there's something going on. Our emotions are God-given to us to call us to turn and run to Him. Rather than trying to take things into our own hands so that we can go and do what we feel like is the best thing. So here's the deal. David, he did something that he would not normally do. He lied to his friend Ahimelech. And you're going to see that in just a few moments. When Ahimelech begins to speak, you're going to get to check that. David thinks he's all alone, though. David doesn't realize, and I tell my kids this all the time, even though they're adults. I'm going to tell you this. I want you to hear this. David's all alone, and he thinks nobody's seeing it. Nobody's around. Nobody's hearing this conversation. I want you to know there are people all around hearing the things that you think they don't hear. Watching you do things you think no one knows. Look what it says over, and go with it, verse 7 now. 1 Samuel 21:7. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul, he was a servant of Saul, okay, was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was waiting before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. Then David said to Ahimelech, then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, well, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. The ephod was a linen shirt that the priest would wear. And if you will take that, take it. For there is none but that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. Here's the second thing. The first is this, is that unchecked emotions will cause you to do things you would never do. Here's the second thing. Unchecked emotions will cause you to forget things that you should never be forgetting. It will cause you to forget things that we should never be forgetting. David is tired and hungry. He is on the run. He is stressed out. And what do people do many times when they get stressed? They want to eat. Do you notice what David said? David said, bring me 5 loaves of bread. This dude was about to carb up, all right? He's about to go on the run. And he's asking for 5 loaves of bread. Ahimelech goes and brings out the only bread that he has, and it was the holy bread, the bread that was commissioned before the Lord. He brings it to him, and then David says this, oh yeah, by the way, you got a weapon? Ahimelech is a sharp man. Wait a minute, the captain of the army who is on a secret mission does not have a sword? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Listen, I work with some young men in our office that I'm always telling, we'll get ready to go someplace, maybe lunch or run out, and I say, hey, you got your keys with you? Oh, golly, no, I don't. They have to go back, get their keys, get their phone, get their billfold. I said, guys, listen, you got to carry those things with you all the time. You got to always have those with you. Listen, a captain in the army always has his sword. He's always carrying his weapons. And here's what he said. He said, listen, I ran out. I don't have it. I don't have what I need to have. But Ahimelech says, there is a sword here. You remember it, David? In fact, you used it. It's the sword that cut Goliath's head off. It's here. It's wrapped up. If you would like it, you can take it. And David goes, yes, there's none like that. And he was right. There wasn't a sword like it. The scripture tells us that it weighed somewhere around, his sword weighed somewhere around 15 pounds. Some of you men going, I ain't nothing. I can handle that. No, listen, guys, I'm talking 15 pounds of forged steel. You might pick it up, but we're talking about wielding it where it's not like cutting your leg. I mean, this guy knew how to handle it. An average sword that any man would have been carrying in those days was around 4 pounds. This sword was 3 times the size of a normal sword. And he said, yeah, I'll take that. At this moment, listen, at this moment, I think this is almost like God pushing pause on the movie. It's like pushing pause on the movie. Have you seen those commercials where they push pause, but there's one person who can still walk around and see things? I think it's like he pushed pause and he said, David, remember. David, do you remember? David, that's the sword that had absolutely no power over you. That's the sword that an ungodly Gentile giant who was a professional warrior, it had no power over you or my country. You went out with a slingshot, and yes, you had 5 stones, but it took one. David, do you remember this? David, do you remember when you were out in the sheepfold, out in the wilderness, and I brought you in, and Samuel poured oil and said, you're going to be the next king? David, do you remember this? David, do you remember being the sheep? The scripture being a shepherd, and the scripture says this, that David as a shepherd with his bare hands killed a bear and a lion. David, do you remember these things? David, have you forgotten? You see, you know what unchecked emotion will cause us to do? It causes us to forget things that we should never, ever forget about God. As followers of Jesus Christ, those who have surrendered our life to him, do you remember where your life was? Do you remember where your life was? I remember where my life was. Listen, I wasn't living as a hellion. I mean, I was like 14. But I remember what my life felt like. Some of you were living that way. And God has picked you up. He opened your eyes. He changed your life. He changed your circumstances. Your life today looks so different. And yet in the midst of where you are, you're about to go, I'm out. Because unchecked emotions, the gauges are going off. He says, listen, remember, you've got friends. How many of you ever had a friend? How many of you ever had a friend that you looked at and you said, how did their life get there? I remember how did they end up? I mean, they were walking with Jesus and now their life is, they forgot. They did not remember what Jesus had done. Folks, do you remember where your finances were and how God has radically changed them? And yet today we're going, I gotta hoard, I need to grab. And he's saying, listen, don't forget. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've got bread you don't even know about. I've got living water that you can drink and you'll never thirst. He says, yes, you may feel like, and some of you in here, your kids may be so far off the reservation. You new parents, listen, that there may be a day when you do everything right and your kids, they run off the range. And it makes you want to do, he says, do you remember where you once were? Your marriage feels frayed. It feels like the engine of your life, you're about to blow a head gasket. It feels like that the belt that makes everything run, the stress, there's so much tension. And he says, hey, listen. This is check these emotions. Don't do anything. Just, David, wait. Just hold up. You know what the irony of this is, I think? Is that in the midst of this, did you see what David said? Yeah, there's none like it. Get it for me. The irony is that he forgot. He forgot in the midst of the stress, in the midst of the emotion, he forgot all that God, the goodness of God, how all that God had done. I think that's one of the reasons that God told Moses, write it all down. So that when you walk by the roadside, when you go to bed at night, when you get up, when you eat, you can talk about the goodness. You remember so that my people don't forget. Folks, listen, have you forgotten how good God has been to you? And in the midst of what you're facing, that emotion, it's a warning light. Stop. Don't do it. Don't jump. Don't jump. David thought he was all alone. He didn't think anybody heard him. Yet Doeg was there. And Doeg heard. You know what Doeg does? Doeg goes and he runs back to the king. And he gets over there and he starts talking to the king. And he says, hey, listen, I saw David. Well, Saul is in a place called Gibeah. Not far from Jerusalem and Nob. The scripture tells us in chapter 22 that he is sitting under a tree, a tamarisk tree, and he's got his men around him. The people of the city have come out, and he begins to ask them. He's kind of talking out loud rhetorically, and he says this. He says, why is it that how come I didn't know that my son had covenanted with David and that he's taken care of David? How come I didn't know that? How is it, why is it that all the people now love David? And what's going on? How come we can't find him? I mean, we've heard reports about him. How come we can't get him? And all of a sudden, Doeg said, me found him. I know where he is. Look what it says over in chapter 22. Chapter 22, beginning at verse 9. Then Doeg, the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him. Ahimelech, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. The king, we're not certain if he went to Nob or if he had him brought, but it just says he sent his men, they went and got Ahimelech, brought people to him, and Saul begins to question him. And Saul looks at him and says this to him. He says, Ahimelech, did you do these things? And Ahimelech says, well, yeah, I did. Yeah, he's the captain of the king's army. He's the king's son-in-law. Your son and him, they're like besties. They're tight. He comes to me. This isn't the first time he's inquired of the Lord through me. The problem is, David lied to Ahimelech. He lied to him. He wasn't truthful because his emotion caused him to do something he would not normally do. He forgot the goodness of God. And you know what ends up happening? Here's the third thing. Unchecked emotions causes us to hurt people we never wanted to hurt. We think so often that our lives are like a vacuum, that we live in a vacuum, and what I do only affects me. I want you to hear this. Your life affects everyone that's around you. That's why we always talk about sharing faith, living a life, being salt, being light, because your life affects people. And in the opposite direction also, how we live, how we remember the goodness of God affects those that are around us. when we're facing those difficult moments, when there is that stress that comes to our life, when those moments when everyone says jump and bail and you say, no, my God is good. He has always been faithful and I will be faithful to him, even in the midst of this. God, I don't understand the anger. I don't understand it. I'm feeling it and I need you now, God, to make sense of it. When we remember his goodness and we don't let our emotions get unchecked. So Saul tells this. Saul tells the captain of the army. He says, hey, listen, I want you to kill Ahimelech and I want you to kill all the priests. Captain of the army looks back and goes, no. I mean, they were scared. I mean, these are men of God. We're not doing that. So then Saul turns to our old buddy Doeg. Look what happens in chapter 22, verses 18 through 22. Then the king said to Doeg, you turn and strike the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priest, and he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. 85 priests, okay? Verse 19, and Nob, the city of the priest, he put to the sword. Both men and women, child and infant, ox and donkey and sheep, he put to the sword. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine what David must have felt like when he realized what I did, when my lie, what I would normally not do, I did because I forgot the goodness and the faithfulness of God that led to the hurt of all kinds of people. And I want you to hear this. Our unchecked emotion affects everyone around us. How many times have you lost it and blown up and people are like, whoa, I'm backing up? How about the times when you faced a very difficult and stressful situation and you pulled the ripcord and you just quit and it caused other people to go, well, if he's out, I'm out. If she's done, I'm done. How about when you've lost it, ladies, on your kids? Men, when you've lost it on your kids and all their friends are around are going, ooh, we don't want to go to that house. Listen, unchecked emotion affects people all around. And today, in this very room, there are some of you, you're afraid, you're angry, you're hurt, you're experiencing extreme jealousy. You may even have a real good reason why you're experiencing that and go, man, you don't know what my life has been like. You don't know me. You don't even know where I've been. You don't understand what's happened to me. You're right, I don't. But here's what I know. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we cannot forget what he experienced for us. That he himself laid his life down. He himself gave his all. In the midst of isolation, in the midst, you realize that on the night that he was betrayed in the garden, stress was so high that he literally sweat drops of blood. Yet he remembered, yet not my will, Lord, but yours. Father, you know what father is? Father is an identity issue. He recognized he is the son. God, you know. And today, listen, some of you are wanting to jump, you're wanting to bail, you're wanting to do something that is so out of character and not normal. And I'm asking you, just like we did with David, wait. Our emotions are a grace of the Lord in our lives. It's that warning signal. Turn to the Father. God, I'm angry. I'm so angry. Help me not to sin in my anger. Help me to understand. God, I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. God, I need your vision. You know what happens to me oftentimes when I don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. I'm angry. You know what God does is he points out in my own life where I've done that. And it's like, Kyle, settle. Just settle. And he recalls to my mind how he's been faithful. He recalls to my mind where he's been good. Where when I didn't think there was a way, he made a way. And I want you to hear this today. He wants to make a way for you. And some of you today are asking this question. You don't even know you're asking it. Am I going to trust God? Or am I going to go back to the old weapons that I used to use to correct or try to correct the issues that I had? So often when we face times of stress, you know what we do? We go back to old patterns. And today Jesus says, stay with me. I have paid the penalty. I've paid the price. There is nothing that you're experiencing that I don't understand. Because I, as your high priest, can sympathize with what you're walking through, the scripture says. Don't jump. God's saying to us, I think, today, pause. Do you remember? Do you remember what your life was like prior and how it's changed? Do you remember what your marriage used to be like and today it's this? Do you remember what your finances used to be? And now, the blessing. Do you remember how your kids used to be? Listen, I want you to hear me. God today knows where you and I are. He knows what we're walking through. He knows the stress. He knows the tension. And he has given the warning signs of emotion to say, turn to me. Turn to me. Call to me if you are heavy laden, if you are burdened. Today in this room, there are those, I know this, because every time we meet, there are people in here who have never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Do you know that our very first parents, Adam and Eve, they were ruled by their emotions. They listened to a liar who said, you see the fruit, it's desirous. And they gave in to their desire. They believed the liar who said, God didn't want you to know him. Because if you eat this, you'll be like him. They believed the liar. And as a result, you know what happened? We all live in the aftermath. The world was broken. But God, began to send his prophets, he began to send his leaders, he began to send his kings, till eventually he sent his one and only son, who walked the earth to identify with us, to live the life that we could never live, to pay the penalty of sin. So that today, where you're sitting, he can say, remember, this is what I've done, and I extend it to you. It is offered to you today. Would you surrender and submit your life? Would you, and today, you know what my prayer has been, even before you got here, that the Holy Spirit of God would move through these chairs, up and down these three aisles, walk through these halls, and draw you and point you to Jesus. That he would reveal to you your need of him. That is the gospel, that if we would surrender our lives to him because of the debt that he paid on our behalf, Jesus, I trust you. I give you everything. I'm following you. The gospel is that he hears that, and he, as we respond to him, you know what the unique thing is that we can't respond if he doesn't open our eyes. And if he's opened your eyes right now, you're feeling something going, I think what he said is true. Then he is calling you to respond right now. Jesus, I trust you. I want you. I turn from my sin. So often we think the gospel is that one-time thing. Do you realize the scripture says that we are not only saved, but we are being saved each day? The gospel is for every day. The good news of Jesus is that you don't have to continue just to wallow in bitterness. You don't have to continue to struggle with anger. The good news of Jesus is that he died for that, and that he wants to take that. He wants to give you his perspective and vision on what it is that you're dealing with so that then you can turn around and say, Jesus, you're the one that needs, this is yours. I give this to you. This is too big of a burden. This is too heavy. I give this to you. And you realize your emotions, that's the warning light. Stop. Don't jump. Don't bail. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about the circumstances of your life for just a moment, okay? Where you are, what you're dealing with. And I'm gonna ask you this, if you knew for certain, you knew for sure that God was with you, that he was for you, that he loved you, that he listens to you, that he desires to fight your battles for you. If you knew that for certain, how would it change your life? How would it change this very moment with what it is that you're struggling with? Well, here's the good news. He does. And he extends his grace to you today. Grace that we can't earn. It is a free gift given to us. And today he's asking, would you submit to him and follow him? Would you receive the free gift? If I hand you a gift and offer it to you and you don't take it, you reject it in turn. You see, you have to receive that. That is my prayer today for you if you do not follow Christ. That is my prayer for you today if you do follow him, that you'll receive his peace in your life. Father, we love you, we honor you, and I thank you, Jesus, for all that you do. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that even in the midst of my own life, with emotions that swirl, you have been faithful. I thank you that you're trustworthy. I thank you, God, that you've never leave us. I thank you that even right now, you've orchestrated events to bring people here today in this moment to hear this message of wait. Don't jump. Trust in Jesus. I pray that today, God, as we've sought to lift high the Son, Jesus. Jesus, you said that when you are lifted up, you would draw all men to yourself. And so today we've lifted you up. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking, would you point men and women and boys and girls, everyone in here, would you point them to Jesus? Would you remind them that the words that are spoken are truth? And would you do what only you can do? And it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things. Amen.